Right, today. Good morning. You hear me all right? Yes. Say yes if you can hear me. Very well, welcome. And without further ado, hand you over to Caroline.
Good morning. All right. I think we'll soon have some intimations up on the screen. Yes, good morning. Especially if you're a newcomer. Welcome, Heather. And you may wish to sign our visitor's book. The chocolate appeal for the gala. The gala week starts this year on the 2nd of June with a barbecue in the Manse Garden. Gala day itself is Saturday the 8th of June, and the church will have a stall as usual, and we need donations of chocolate for the chocolate dip. Thank you for those who brought it this morning. Please bring unwanted chocolate to church any Sunday up until the 2nd of June, and there's a collection box in the vestibule. If you can help on the stall on the day, please add your name to the list in the vestibule. Catch will meet on the 2nd of June as part of the joint service, and Catch will also run on the 23rd of June when the end of year prize giving will take place. Oh, there's a good one. The Kuna Tumani Orphanage Appeal. The mission team of the West Fife Villages Churches are presenting a special appeal on behalf of the orphanage on Sunday, the 2nd of June at 7 p.m. in Oakley Church. During the presentation, there will be short prayers and accompanied singing. All are welcome to attend. Can I just also add that there are refreshments after today's service, so please do stop and stay. And also there is a list for volunteers in the vestibule if anyone would like to assist with serving teas and coffees at the joint service on the 2nd of June when we will be hosting the West Fife Village Churches in Cairney Hill. And remember, the service will begin at 11 a.m. on that day, which is half an hour early, and Kirk session will meet before then on Wednesday the 29th of May at 7 p.m. There are other intimations on the printed sheet, and you can also see that on Facebook or download it from the church website if you don't have a copy. And finally, for those on Zoom, there's a quick look at the order of service.
Thank you, Caroline. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendour of his holiness. So let's praise to the Lord as we sing Praise to the Lord, hymn 124.
Thank you.
Let us now dedicate our offering. Lord, who loves a cheerful giver, accept these gifts of our heart given with joy. May they be multiplied, a multiplied blessing in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Norman, the weary traveller from the General Assembly, will come and lead us in prayer.
Okay. Thank you, Alistair. Let's worship God now in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we lift up our hearts and voices in worship. We sing your praise and long to hear your word to us. God, our Father, we praise you as creator and Lord of all that is. Around us we see the wonder of your work. You are the very breath of life. We praise you for your love of all that you have made, and not least your love for humanity. Jesus, eternal Son of God, we rejoice in you who are the love of God made flesh. In your life, death, and resurrection, we find the measure of the Father's love for us. You are our hope and our salvation. Holy Spirit, with a sense of wonder, we remember that you are ever present within us and around us. We depend upon your guidance and your gifting. It is you who enables us to live as disciples of Jesus to the glory of the Father. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship you with every part of our being. As we gather in worship, we are well aware of our human frailty. We know our need of your compassion and forgiveness. We take a moment of quiet to confess our sin and repent of the wrong in our lives. In love, you reach out and touch us at the very heart of our being. You take away our guilt. We are made clean. In your sight, we are made right. It is our great desire not to repeat the sins of the past, but to go forward ever more faithful in our Christian living. We pray that we may glorify you in our worship and glorify you in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. And now, in the words that Jesus taught his disciples, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Norman. So let's continue now by singing hymn 180. Give thanks with a grateful heart. We give thanks that we got through that in one piece. I don't know if you remember a university challenge used to be on the, I don't know if it's still on the television, but remember when it first started, a university challenge with Bamber Gascoigne presenting it, because this was no ordinary quiz program, this was a lot higher level, university level, and way too intelligent for me. I couldn't understand the questions, I might answer them. But who else do we need for a university challenge but somebody called Bamber Gascoigne? Anyway, so I thought maybe this morning we can have a wee go at university challenge. So, Kenny Hill, fingers on the buzzer, you started for 10. In one simple sentence, explain the Trinity of God, and you may confer. Well, sorry, your time is up. You are fired. Oh, sorry, that's another programme, isn't it? Yeah. Well, as we know as adults, that when we come across difficult situations, particularly like modern technology, for example, but things like that, we bring on an eight-year-old and they will solve it for you. Well, this is what an eight-year-old, Danny Dutton, aged eight, as I said, from Chula Vista in California, wrote on the topic, Explain God. So this is what he said. One of God's main jobs is making people. He makes these to put in place of the ones that die so that there will be enough people to take care of things here on earth. He doesn't make grown-ups, just babies. I think because they are smaller and easier to make. That way he doesn't have to take up his valuable time teaching them to talk and walk. He can just leave that up to the mothers and fathers. I think it works out pretty good. God's second most important job is listening to prayers. An awful lot of this goes on, as some people, like preachers and things, pray other times besides bedtime. God doesn't have time to listen to the radio or TV on account of this. As he hears everything, not only prayers, there must be a terrible lot of noise in his ears, unless he has thought of a way to turn it off. God sees everything and hears everything and is everywhere, which keeps him pretty busy. So you shouldn't go wasting his time by going over your parents' heads and asking for something they said you couldn't have. Atheists are people who don't believe in God. I don't think there are any in Chula Vista. At least there aren't any who come to our church. Jesus is God's son. He used to do all the hard work, like walking in water and doing miracles and trying to teach people about God who didn't want to learn. They finally got tired of him preaching to them and they crucified him. But he was good and kind, like his father, and he told his father that they didn't know what they were doing and to forgive them. And God said, okay. His dad, God, appreciated everything he had done and all his hard work on earth, so he told him he didn't have to go out on the road anymore. He could stay in heaven. So he did. Now he helps his dad out by listening to prayers and seeing which things are important for God to take care of and which ones he can take care of himself without having to bother God. Like a secretary, only more important, of course. You can pray any time you want and they're sure to hear you because they've got it worked out so that one of them is on duty all the time. You should go to Sunday school because it makes God happy. And if there's anybody you want to make happy, it's God. Don't skip Sunday school to do something you think will be more fun, like going to the beach. That's wrong. And besides, the sun doesn't come out at the beach until noon anyway. If you don't believe in God, besides being an atheist, you'll be very lonely. Because your parents can't go everywhere with you, like camp, but God can. It's good to know he's around when you're scared of the dark or when you can't swim very good and you get thrown in real deep water by the big kids. But you shouldn't just think of what God can do for you. I figured he put me here and can take me back any time he pleases. And that's why I believe in God. Well, I'm sure his theological explanation is just as good as any theologian. Well, one theologian was Basil the Great. He lived in the 4th century, and he was the first to fix the accepted formula for the Trinity. And here I can impress you with some of my Greek, maybe. So the formula was one substance, or ousia, and three persons, or hypostasis. So three persons in the one substance, three in the one being. This was a time of the great church councils, such as Nicaea and Chalcedon, and the formulation of the creeds. Because what the early church had to do was really get things down, basically in black and white, exactly what we believed, because there's a lot of heresies going about. So to get it down, their kind of orthodox church belief. And that quotation that's on the front of the service sheet, every divine action begins from the Father, proceeds through the Son, and is completed in the Holy Spirit, wrote Basil. And we can see that in our passage today from John 3. Every divine action begins from the Father. God so loved the world that he sent his only one and only Son. So it proceeds through the Son and is completed in the Holy Spirit. And as we'll hear, Jesus is trying to explain to Nicodemus about the Holy Spirit and new birth. Because Jesus said when he would ascend to heaven, he would send the Holy Spirit. Of course, when we put our faith in Jesus, we accept him, the Holy Spirit comes into our life to work in us. If you were asked to explain God and why you believe in him, how would you reply? Now, some who don't believe in God would say, well, there is no God. Human beings are in charge of their own destiny. We live for this life only. You maybe heard in the news earlier this week that according to the latest census, Scotland now is the majority of people don't believe in any religion, they're non-religious, and which maybe comes as perhaps no surprise. But one of the places they highlighted was Shetland. Apparently there's more people there who are non-religious. There's quite a high proportion. And so on the news, they were speaking to the man and woman in the street. I was speaking to this man up in Shetland, who was basically saying, you know, it's a different culture up here. We're all family. We get along just fine without religion. Maybe that sums it up, people's attitude and thoughts. We get along just fine without God. Others may vaguely describe God as some sort of force or power, a thing or presence in the world, in this world. May the force go with you. Some who do believe may describe God by his qualities or what he is, all-powerful, all-knowing, present everywhere. And others still may describe God in terms of who he is, as a loving heavenly Father, someone who knows all about us and cares for us, someone who is concerned with every detail of our lives and who wants a father-child relationship with us through Jesus, his Son. So why should we want to have this relationship with God, with Jesus? Well, the answer is sung at Easter, the cross and the empty tomb. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. The truth is, we can't fully explain God. If we could, he wouldn't be God. That's why I believe in God. How about you? Caroline is now going to come up and read to us from John chapter 3.
The reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1 and ending at verse 17. The chapter is entitled, Jesus Teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
So let's sing now, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, in 549. excuses. It's amazing the excuses we hear for different situations or why things don't happen as though the way they should do. Whether it's the leaves on the track or the wrong kind of snow, or it's a fault of the computer error, or a recent one in the past few years, it's coronavirus causes everything. I was reading about a couple's bid to adopt a child has been rejected because they don't argue enough. The welfare board in Sweden ruled that they lack conflict-resolving experience, saying children should grow up in an atmosphere where arguing is encouraged. The husband said, "I'd like to give those bureaucrats a good hiding." Maybe we all make excuses, but when it comes to believing in Jesus Christ, it really is amazing the excuses people give for rejecting Jesus. A couple of questions for us, each of us, to ask ourselves. I put these forward not to put doubt in your mind, absolutely the opposite, to encourage you, but questions to ask ourselves to affirm our beliefs. Am I a Christian? Have I been born again? Now that kind of phrase, born again, or somebody asks, are you a born again Christian? Sometimes can be, maybe it's the way it's said, a bit cringeworthy. And my response to that is, well, what other kind of Christian is there? If you're a Christian, well, you've been born again. But it's important that you know your scriptural identity and position in Christ. Knowing that by the grace of God in Christ, you're accepted, secure, and significant. Nicodemus belonged to the party of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they were a legalistic and exclusive group who strictly but often hypocritically kept the law of Moses and the unwritten tradition of the elders. Although some, no doubt, were godly, most of those who came into contact with Jesus were envious and rigid and formalistic. One night, Nicodemus came to Jesus. Perhaps he was afraid to come by day in case he compromised his position with the Sanhedrin. This was the 71 member of the Jewish court, consisting of the chief priests, the elders and teachers of the law. Nicodemus came secretly at this stage, but later he showed more courage by protesting against the condemnation of Jesus by the Jewish authorities. Nicodemus is later said to have brought a lavish gift of spices to anoint the body of Christ. Nicodemus seems to have been an earnest man, attracted by the character and teaching of Jesus. He realised that there was something special about Jesus. No one else could perform miracles unless they had a special relationship with God. Nicodemus came to Jesus for a private theological discussion, and certainly this was no cosy chat, as Nicodemus was confronted with the stark reality of one fundamental issue: how to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus declared to him, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Nicodemus became confused, thinking of physical rebirth. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." The kingdom of God is both a present reality and a future hope. The Old Testament prophet spoke of a future time when God would pour out his Spirit on his people. And as Norman was reminding us last week at Pentecost, reminding us of the prophecy of Joel and the Spirit being poured out. And as Christians, we look forward to the day when Jesus shall return in glory. Jesus also spoke about the present reality of the kingdom, to be entered in this present age through new birth by the Spirit. So Jesus links entering the kingdom of God with eternal life. for all who believe in him. What does it mean to be born of water and the Spirit? Well, apparently there's various ways of interpreting this, but perhaps the most probable meaning here is that water refers to purification. Jesus is probably distinguishing between external cleansing and internal renewal by the Holy Spirit. If water symbolised life, cleansing, refreshing and renewal, then it comes as no surprise to learn that it symbolised the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Bible describes the Spirit as being poured out and believers being filled, so symbolising the new gift of life brought by Christ. Whoever receives Jesus the Son becomes a child of God by spiritual birth from above. We belong to the people of God. It is a childlike attitude we need in order to enter the kingdom, like a dependent child who freely receives. To be born by the Spirit is not our natural state, implying it must be a second birth. It is a water spirit birth as opposed to one of flesh. Just as natural life is a result of God breathing spirit into the first human, so eternal life is a consequence of God breathing his Holy Spirit to human life through new birth. You must be born again. This assertion by Jesus applies to everyone, not just Nicodemus. There are no exceptions. Integral to the teaching of the new birth is a need for a radical discontinuity with the past and a fundamental internal change if we are to enter the kingdom of God. The new birth not only speaks of a radical change of life, but more specifically of a new origin and source of life. John opens his gospel with a statement that all who believe in the name of Jesus are born of God. Being a child of God is not simply a covenant relationship. God is not just saying, well, I'll look after you so long as you keep obeying the rules. It involves a change of heart as the Spirit who gives life is imparted to us as believers. So moral transformation is expected into a life of righteousness and love. So as believers, we now have Jesus as our source of life, as the Holy Spirit carries out the work of regeneration, without which we can never see the kingdom of God. The Spirit is sovereign, and he works as he pleases in his renewal of the human heart. But unless we are prepared to swallow our pride and acquire a childlike heart, we will not receive salvation. On our side it means repentance, and on God's side it means the supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. Only by coming humbly to the foot of the cross with a childlike heart and accepting the forgiveness of God can we know what it means to have eternal life. For there is no other way of salvation. Having all the theological knowledge possible, being morally upright, a pillar of the community, or mixing in the right circles, cannot put a person right with God. And it's for this reason that God sent his Son into the world. Eternal life is only made possible through the love of God, and is shown in this amazing fact that he loves the world so much that he gave us Jesus, that his Son should die for us. While God does not condone sin, he does not look upon sinners with aversion, but with love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In this picture, in this verse, we have a picture of the cross and the costly love where Jesus died to save us. It is an unforgettable picture of a God of love who has done all that is necessary to bring salvation to unworthy and evil people. And that is no ordinary love. Our love should be directed in two ways, and is both both cases motivated by God's love for us. First of all, our love is primarily towards God. And this is to be no mediocre affair, not simply a passing acknowledgement that he exists. This to be a wholehearted devotion which pervades our being and existence. And secondly, Jesus commands us to love one another and also to reminds us to love our neighbour. And this love Jesus looks for is not in order to gain merit, it is a response to God's love for us. Love directed first to him, then flowing out to others. Love is therefore central to the whole way of life of Jesus' followers. God is the source of our love and also the object of our love. God's gracious purpose for our world is for our salvation and not condemnation. However, the choice is ours to accept or reject Jesus. If we reject Jesus, then on the day of judgment we condemn ourselves. Our unbelief will confirm the judgment we already passed on ourselves. Despite the wonderful offer of eternal life, so many in this world refuse it, preferring darkness and the gloomy prospect of eternal death. The heart of the gospel message is that Jesus came to save, but the consequences for those who refuse him is judgment. We cannot save ourselves. Now, if you're not sure whether or not you're saved, then there are some essentials to check. There's something to admit, that you have sinned in the sight of God. There's something to believe, that Jesus died on the cross bearing all the guilt and penalty of your sin. There's something to consider. Jesus never promised it would be easy to follow him. And lastly, there's something to do. Ask and accept Jesus into your life to be your Lord to control you, your Saviour to cleanse you, and your friend to guide and be with you. So many miss this last step and never come to know Jesus Christ. And perhaps no verse in the Bible makes this last step clearer than Revelation 3 verse 20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Jesus Christ waits outside the door of your life. He won't force his way in, he wants to be asked in. The handle is on the inside and only you can open the door. You become a true Christian when you open the door of your life to Jesus Christ and let him come in and live in your heart and life. And only you can answer this for yourself. And as I said earlier, this is not to put doubt in your mind, it's to encourage you, it's to for you to make your affirmation of what you believe, but to affirm it with confidence. Are you a Christian? Yes. Have you been born again? Yes. Have you responded to God's love by believing in Jesus? Yes. Or are you still making excuses? The truth is, there are no excuses. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Let us now sing Christ is the World in Which We Move, hymn 724.
let's offer our prayers for others. Heavenly Father, we come before you now with our prayers for our world. God, our Creator, we look around at this beautiful and bountiful world that you have made. We give thanks for the many good gifts that you have given us. Remind each of us of the role that we have in caring for your creation. And change the hearts of those who seek to destroy the beauty of the earth for their own gain. Encourage those who seek climate justice and those who work to restore the land, the rivers, and the seas. Those who want to ensure that we have clean air to breathe. Those who ensure that we share the bounty of this earth. God, our Creator, help us to work together as we seek the healing of this world. God of the sick, we think of all who are struggling today with poor physical or mental health. Draw alongside them that they may know your healing love. We pray for all who work in healthcare. We remember the doctors, the nurses, the staff of so many places that we depend upon. We look to you for strength and wisdom as they face the challenges of mental and physical health in the world today. And for those who walk through the valley of the shadow of death, be with them as comfort and strength, as that peace that is beyond all earthly understanding. God of peace, we look at our world and see so much of war and destruction. We pray for peace on earth in every situation that knows the torment and uncertainty that conflict brings. We remember places like Gaza, Ukraine, and all the other war-torn societies of our world. We pray for peace on earth. We think of those who are fleeing from violence and conflict. We think of those who are fleeing from the injustices and the poverty that afflict so many. The people that we label as migrant or refugee. Grant them safe passage and help them to find welcome and acceptance wherever they find a home. We pray for the leaders of the nations, and as we go into an election period of time in this land, we particularly pray for those who are seeking election here. Guide those who campaign, give them wisdom in their words. Guide we who vote and give us wisdom in our questions and wisdom in the vote that we make. Eternal God, we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ as it serves here in our nation and across the face of the earth. Help us to be light in the darkness and beacons of hope in situations that seem hopeless. Fill us with your Spirit. Enable us to be true to Jesus and bring glory to you, our Father. As we look back, we give thanks for those who have nurtured us in our faith, those who sowed the seed of faith in our lives. Help us in our time to reach out to our communities and our nation and our world. living God, you know every thought in our heads. You know the things that are upon our hearts and minds. And so we bring before you now those things that are important to us, our own personal burden of prayer. We lay before you the people, the places, the situations that mean most to us. Be with us in our journey, through the highs and the lows. Grant us wisdom to speak into situations that need to hear our voice, and be with us in the silence when words fail us. We offer all of these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, through the power of the Spirit and to the glory of the Father. Amen.
Let's now draw our time together this morning as we sing a closing hymn, At the Name of Jesus, hymn 458. For a long time. Okay. Good to hear it. So the blessing. May God the Father bless us, God the Son defend us, God the Spirit keep us, now and forevermore.